Former CFLer, the color analyst for the Riders, Carm Carteri, joins us. Carm, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, I appreciate having you on. From what you've seen, like, what's gone wrong with the Riders' defense? Why is it so bad?
Why is it so bad? That's the million-dollar question. All I can tell you is that it's a whole new coaching staff on the defensive side of the board, and that's something that Corey Chamberlain kind of took it upon himself to be the defensive coordinator. I know he hired Quick out of Montreal, but Greg Quick, he's the so-called defensive coordinator, but it's Corey Chamberlain who's kind of calling all the shots there, and unfortunately for Corey, it just hasn't worked for him, and that's been the biggest difference this year. The Riders, of course, allowed Richie Hall to leave his contract, or they allowed him to go. He went to Winnipeg and took his coaches with him, and now it's Corey kind of revamping that defense, and just hasn't happened. But I think one of the big things in defense of Corey is they went out and got Shea Emery, the starting middle linebacker, of course, from the Argos last year, who was with the Alouettes for many years, and he was the key to this defense. But unfortunately, he went down the first game of the year, as did Darian Durant. But so you got your two big leaders, one on offense, one on defense, and Shea Emery, because he's Canadian, it's kind of tough to replace. So that kind of threw a whack into the scheme of things for the Riders. But all in all, they're just trying to regroup and get this defense back together. And some people might say that they're having a tough time adjusting to the new rules with this pass interference calls, where these DBs were all tight man-to-man guys that like to get in your face and kind of run with you. Well, now, when they're playing zone or even man for that matter, they're putting their hands on the receivers, or they've been called a lot this year. And that's been a tough transition for this defense, and nobody really has the real answers right now. It's just something where they've got to answer those question marks, because it's really hurting this football team. As you know, the first four of the five games, the Riders were leading in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. to surrender late game leads with this porous defense. So that's been the biggest concern right now, is getting this defense. And Kevin Glenn, after Darian Durant went down, did a good job with this offense, as they were leading the league in a lot of categories. But now, of course, Kevin Glenn went on the six-game injured list after getting hurt last week against Hamilton, and we've got a pure rookie starting here tonight. So there's a lot of things that have gone wrong for this football team, and unfortunately the defense has been Corey Chamberlain, but the other things he hasn't been able to control, injuries and other than how his defense is playing, and that's why he's taking some heat right now.
Carm Carteri, analyst for the Riders, joins us. Carm, it was interesting earlier today on TSN 1040 in Vancouver, Travis Lule mentioned the Riders as a team that's playing less man coverage than he expected. And I talked to the Eskimo DBs, and they feel that playing man to the rules is way better. If you play zone, that's when you're going to get in trouble, because that's when you're sitting back and waiting on guys, and then you can't even touch them. Why do you think they're playing more zone than man?
Well, because these guys were smaller and they like to jam people. I think I mentioned it earlier, and they're man-to-man. They've had trouble staying with receivers as they've been clutching and grabbing. So they took a lot of penalties early in this year, and that forced Corey Chamberlain to kind of change his the concepts a little bit. But there's no question they're playing more zone. But having said that, when you're playing zone, I think it's easier when you have bigger players that are playing the corners and the halfbacks. The Riders are still stuck with some pretty good man-to-man guys, but they're small. So from that perspective, I'm into the zone defense right now just for this rule change, but the Riders aren't playing well either man-to-man or zone. So there's an issue on defense. And got to apologize, I'm at the stadium and they're practicing O Canada right now, so you're probably hearing that in the background.
Oh, I am. You're probably standing up and everything, Carm. That's perfect.
Oh, yeah. My hands over my heart. You know that. It's always a pleasure being in Edmonton.
Well, it'll be a big crowd tonight. Tell us about Smith. What's his strengths, and how challenging is it for him to get his first start against the league's best defense?
Well, I think that's the big thing right there. Brett Smith, I had an opportunity to talk to him about a half an hour ago. He's a rookie out of Wyoming. Pretty good size, 6'3", around 206 pounds, but really excited about the opportunity. But I still think in the back of his mind a little worried, because that front seven of the Edmonton Eskimos is as good as it gets. They can really get a good pass rush by going with their front four, but when they send a guy, they're really, really tough. And that's the concern for the Riders, because Kevin Glenn took a lot of shots last week against the Hamilton Ticats as they went after him. So I think he knows he's going to see a lot of the Edmonton defense. They're going to get after him here tonight. It's going to be what Jacques Chapdelain kind of does for his young quarterback. I mean, we can guess, and you're probably going to see a lot of quick hitting screens and just dump offs, quit hot reads and stuff like that. So I don't know. His strengths are he can throw the football, and he's a pretty big guy, so he can run as well. But I don't think the Riders want him to run. He's got a pretty good running game behind him if the Riders can get that going, and that's going to be a big key with Jerome Messam and Anthony Allen. I mean, they've been running the ball really well. I don't know why against Hamilton. I think we only had about 7 rushes, because that, I think, could have helped turn the game around against Hamilton last week. But I think for the Riders to be successful here tonight, we're going to have to talk about one of these running backs having a big game against a really good defensive front 7 that I'm sure are going to play run first, knowing that the Riders have a young quarterback. They're going to probably try and take some pressure off them by running the football. So that's, I'm sure, the game plan for the Edmonton Eskimos. The Riders, again, on the flip side, they've got to try and run it, even though the Eskimos know they're going to run. They have to do it to take some pressure off that offensive line.
The Esks D-line, very respectful of the Riders' O-line, clearly the best one they've faced. When you look at matchups, which one are you most intrigued to see an O-lineman going up against a specific Eskimo D-lineman?
Well, Armando Sewell, I think, is just a horse. And when they move him around inside, I mean, he's going to see a lot of Chris Best, who is probably one of the better linemen on this football team at guard, along with Brendan Labatt. They're two pretty good guards. But Dan Clark, of course, it's his first year starting. He's a 4-year pro out of Regina, played with the Regina Rams, or the Thunder, I'm sorry. But he's a kid that has played pretty well for the Riders, and I think that's going to be a key matchup when Sewell or Eddie Steele, who I think is just great inside, he's a good Canadian tackle as well out of Manitoba. Those two guys inside are a big, big key. You know you're going to get the push from Odell Willis and Marcus Howard on the ends. Those guys have had big years, but their job is mainly to run around those defensive tackles and try and get to the quarterback. The two guys inside that are both horses, they're going to come straight up the middle, and that's going to be a big key. If the front three guys of the Riders, Labatt, Clark, and Best, can keep Steele and Sewell out of that backfield and refrain them from getting a big push. They're going to get a push because they're both horses, but I think that's going to be a big key, keeping those two guys in the backfield.
Carm Carteri, analyst for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, joins us. Carm, I was looking at the tackles, and when you've got a guy leading in tackles, yeah, it means he's a good tackler, but it also means your defense on the field too much, and they're getting into the secondary and the linebacking core way too often. And Knox Jr. already has 30 tackles, followed by Doughty with 23. Those two have been very, very busy. The D-line, is the reason those two are so busy, the D-line's just not doing a great job?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. And plus teams are, you know, they've had leads late in the game and they've been running against the Riders. But in fairness to Knox and Doughty, these guys are both pure rookies. And I think that's what's impressed me about the Riders so far. I know their defense has been really bad. And a lot of people are going to say, you know, how come John Chick has only got 1 sack? Alex Hall has got 2. Those are the big defensive ends for the Riders that people expect a lot more out of them. But I think they've really been hurting inside. Tarius George is not having the year that he had last year, has no sacks. And then the Riders have tried to plug in a couple rookies, Rory Conop, who, of course, his dad is a big hero here in Edmonton at center. Rod played for many years. I had the pleasure of playing against him and seeing him play. But Brandon Tennant is another rookie out of Lavelle. The Riders have really tried to allow one of those two guys at tackle to step up, and they really they really haven't stepped up like the Riders have hoped. So there's been a problem there, and that's why teams have been running the ball inside. And whenever they're running inside, of course your linebackers are going to be up in the league in tackles because they're making tackles. Unfortunately, they're making them 8-9 yards downfield instead of in the hole for a 1 or 2 yard pickup. So that's been the big difference. But I think they're starting to get a little better. The problem is they don't have time to really change or adjust what they're doing in the CFL. Once you get going, I mean, the Riders really only had 1 practice since the Hamilton game, so you can't change a lot. Guys have to try and step up, and I think the big matchup for me is going to be Alec Krosnick-Grohe, who's playing that left guard tackle for you guys here tonight, a former Rider and Renegade. He's been around. There's a big matchup there with the two young Canadians that he'll see in Connop and Tennant. I think that's going to be a matchup I'm going to watch and see what happens. But no question, you hit it on the head with Knox. He's making a lot of tackles only because nobody in front of him has been making tackles.
Well, Carm, I can tell you right now, you know, the Eskimos don't love the fact that Kroshnik's playing guard because he's a natural center. He's not great at the guard position, but you know, they got really no other choice because they've had so many injuries. And I think if there's a weakness on the O-line that the Riders should look to exploit, it would definitely be going after him because he's playing a position. He's just, you know, he's not physical enough to be an effective guard.
No, I agree, and he's a good kid, too. Yeah. And, you know, I've known him from here, and that's why I'm thinking if Terrius George lines up against him, well, you got to remember Alex was a kind of a rookie when George came into is coming into his own, and you know he's practiced against him when Alex was a youngster with the Riders, you know, 3 years ago type of thing. So I would think George would be just kind of you know, pretty fired up to be going against Alex. That could be a big matchup. You're right.
Definitely something they'll have to look forward to. Now, you played the game, and when I look at Saskatchewan right now, and, you know, you talked about kind of the coaching carousel. They've had a lot of different position coaches the last few years, and we saw that under Cavis Reed, and it never really resulted in a lot of success. You don't get the continuity factor, and you always wonder, why are coaches leaving? How much of a factor do you think that really plays in just being a guy who played the game, not having continuity in your coaching staff?
I think it's a big factor, especially for this Rough Rider team. You got to remember the last 3 years, they've been close to the Grey Cup, winning it, of course, in 13, and then losing a couple big games. Well, with Darian getting hurt last year, really hurt. This team was 8-2. But when you look at this coaching staff, and, you know, the Riders actually have 13 coaches, I think 11 of them are all new this year. There's just Corey Chamberlain and running backs coach is the only one they've kept. All the offensive coaches are gone. They went to the BC Lions. George Cortez, of course, went over there to be reunited with Jeff Tedford, their college coaches. And then Richie Hall went to Winnipeg and took all his coaches with him. So essentially, Corey Chamberlain he's got a whole new coaching staff. And I don't know if they know how to handle Corey Chamberlain or he knows how to handle all his new coaches. Because you got to remember, this was a pretty successful franchise the last 4 or 5 years. And for all of a sudden for them to slip so badly, there's a disconnect there somewhere. And the only thing I can put my finger on is they haven't coached together, so they don't know how to win together. And that's something that kind of runs down into your team, because now all of a sudden you have your offensive side of the ball dealing with a whole new coaching staff, your defense side of the ball. They don't know how to get it together, if that makes sense. And that's the only thing, the only correlation between, you know, winning and losing. Because when you're winning, it's usually teams that are consistent, that have that continuity within the coaching staff and between the players. With the Riders, you know, these coaches have to get on the same page. And that's Corey Chamberlain, too, as a head coach. Because you got to remember, when he goes into these meetings, these guys have never met with him before in a game time situation or getting ready for a big game where Corey will throw stuff out at him. They probably don't know, you know, do we challenge him on some of these, or do we just go with whatever he's saying? You know, I don't know if there's that working relationship there yet. And I mean, I probably shouldn't even be saying that, but that's just something I feel as an ex-player, that there's a little bit of a disconnect there. And I'm not saying that's why they're losing, but when you look at wins and losses, it's always one or two plays that makes a difference in a big game. And a lot of times that could be miscommunication between coaches to their players or vice versa. So something's got to change for the Riders to turn it around, but they're in big trouble here tonight. They're going against a good Edmonton football team, and this Rough Rider team is still looking for their identity. They don't have any leaders anymore. Darian Durant is gone. Kevin Glenn is gone. Shea Emery's gone on defense. Ricky Foley is gone, who was a big part of this defense last year. So there's some big holes for this Rough Rider football team, and right now they're just trying to put their finger in the dike and hope to keep it from flooding out, because I don't know what the answer is, and I think everybody in Saskatchewan searching for the easy answer, and there is no easy answer.
Carm, great to catch up with you. As always, we'll see you down at the field.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you.